Welcome to our service for the seventh Sunday after Trinity. Sam asked me the other day how many Sundays after Trinity there are. The answer is, of course, that it depends what date Trinity Sunday is, which in turn depends what date Easter is. This year, there are 20 Sundays after Trinity. So onwards and upwards, Sam, only 13 to go. We are marching in the light of God. He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not also with him give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. God our Father, long-suffering, full of grace and truth, you create us from nothing and give us life. You give your faithful people new life in the water of baptism. You do not turn your face from us, nor cast us aside. We confess that we have sinned against you and our neighbour. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. Restore us for the sake of your Son, and bring us to heavenly joy. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Collect for the seventh Sunday after Trinity. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase us in true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy keep us in the same, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The first reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Darlleniad o Efengyl Matthew, penod 13, adnodau 31 i 33 a 44 i 52. A dyma ddameg arall a gyflwynodd iddynt. Y mae teirnas nefoedd yn debyg i hedyn mwstard a gymer o dyn a'i hau yn ei faes. Dyma'r lleiaf o'r holl hadau, ond wedi iddo dyfu ef yw'r mwyaf o'r holl lysiau, a daw yn goeden fel bod adar yr awyr yn dod ac yn nythu yn eich anghennau. Llefar o ddameg arall wrthynt. Y mae teirnas nefoedd yn debyg i lefain. Y mae gwraig yn ei gymryd ac yn ei gymysgu a thri mesur o flawd gwenith, nes lefeinio'r cwbl. Y mae teirnas nefoedd yn debyg i drysor wedi ei guddio mewn maes. Pan ddaeth dyn o hyd iddo, fe'i cuddiodd ac yn ei lywenydd y mae'n mynd ac yn gwerthu'r cwbl sydd ganddo ac yn prynu'r maes hwnnw. Eto mae teirnas nefoedd yn debyg i fasnachwr sy'n chwilio am berlau gwych. Wedi iddo ddarganfod un perl gwethfawr, aeth i ffwrdd a gwerthu'r cwbl oedd ganddo a'i brynu. Eto mae teirnas nefoedd yn debyg i rwyd a fwriodd i'r môr ac addaliodd bysgod o bob math. Pan oedd yn llawn, dynodd ddynion hi i'r lan ac eistedd i lawr a chasglu rhai da i lestri a thaflu rhai gwael i ffwrdd. Felly y bydd yn niwedd y byd, bydd yr angylion yn mynd allan ac yn gwahanu'r drwg o blith y cyfion ac yn ei taflu i'r ffwrnais danllid. Bydd o'n o wylo a rhingian dannedd. Ar eich wedi deall yr holl bethau hyn, a dyweda sant wrtho, a dim. Am hynny, meddai ef wrthynt, y mae pob ysgrifennydd a ddaeth yn ddisgybl yn heirnas nefoedd yn debyg i berchen tŷ sydd yn dwyn allan o'i drysorfa bethau newydd a hyn. Dyma air yr arglwydd. Diolch i ti o Dduw.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our new bishop, although I suppose she's not quite so new now, our new bishop Joanna is very concerned with the well-being of the clergy. We get regular emails headed St. Luke's Virtual Clergy Wellbeing Programme. I dare say there are even some clergy who read them. One key aspect of the bishop's concern is that we shouldn't do too many services. Stipendiary clergy like me should only do 3 services on a Sunday, while non-stipendaries like Judith should only do 2. Actually, 3 services on a Sunday is quite a light workload. When I started out as a curate in Birmingham, there were always 3 Sunday services, at 8 o'clock and 10:30 in the morning and 6:30 in the evening, together with frequent baptisms on Sunday afternoons. Sometimes we had a Sunday night youth group as well. Of course, it makes a difference that if I do 3 services now, they would all be in different churches. But to be honest, in terms of my energy levels, that's not so big a difference as the difference between being 26 and 62. One thing about having 3 different services is that you quickly realise that people come to church for different reasons. The person who comes to a quiet, spoken Holy Communion service at 8 o'clock in the morning is not looking for the same experience as the person who comes to a noisy, bustling family service at 11 o'clock. The 2 experiences are entirely different, and the person who enjoys the one is quite unlikely to enjoy the other. This was brought home to me most especially in the first church of which I was vicar, in Bath. It was a huge Victorian barn of a church, with a high, distant altar, so that for the 8 o'clock communion service, one was celebrating a long way from the congregation. They were also spread out about the church a long way from each other. It was the only congregation I have ever had where men outnumbered women, and at the end of the service there were some of them whom I had to race to the back of the church to catch them and shake their hands. Most of them didn't come to church to meet me, or indeed anyone else. These men came from a generation where going to church could still be thought of as a duty. So they came to the early service, did their duty, and went home, picking up their Sunday paper on the way, I think. And as that generation also used to say, the rest of the day's your own. The evening congregation of that church was quite different. Evening services were already starting to struggle then, as they've now almost completely died out. But this one was thriving, thanks partly to an excellent choir, who really made a spiritual contribution to worship, which, by the way, not all excellent choirs did. But this one did, and the people who came to enjoy its ministry were of a very different demographic from the 8 o'clock service. Many more of them were women, and many of the women were widows. Probably most of our congregations in Newquay and Llangrannog still have something like that demographic. It took me a while to realise, young as I then was, that part of the reason that Evensong was full of widows was that Sunday nights were lonely for them. Every kind of Sunday activity, including television, was much less developed and attractive in those days. For those who lived alone and away from family, Sunday could be a desert. Cruise, the excellent charity which brought widows and widowers together, at that time held its meetings on Sunday afternoons for precisely that reason. In contrast to the 8 o'clock communicants, that Evensong congregation came to church wanting to be with people, wanting to be together with their friends. I do not mean in any of this to underestimate the spiritual reasons for which people come to church. All the members of those congregations could have expressed their reasons for coming to church in a properly Christian way. The desire to bear witness to the love of God in Christ, to commemorate him in receiving communion, to hear interesting teaching, to pray and worship together with their brothers and sisters, and so on. But I was starting to realise that alongside those conventional reasons for coming to church, reasons which we might call theological, there was a set of reasons which were actually social, and I had to take those social reasons seriously, as well as the theological ones, to understand what was happening in worship and to minister within it. These considerations have come to a head in the present crisis because we have had to ask ourselves the question, should we now go back into church for worship? I've actually been quite surprised by the strength of the feeling that we should not. None of the theological reasons for wanting to go to church has changed. We all miss taking communion, worshipping and praying together, bearing witness to the love of God in Christ. It's just that when we actually try to imagine what it would be like, and as with many things related to COVID-19, I think women have been better at realising this than men, when we try to imagine what it would be like, it just feels as though it would be all wrong. To be in church, but not able to shake hands with each other, or to give our friends a hug, not able to sing together, not able to take communion together, not able to have a cup of coffee together after the service, and above all, I think, not able to relax because of the fear of the virus which would always be in our minds. In effect, our people have said, with surprising unanimity, that they would rather wait until church can be really church. If I'm honest, I would still have done it. I would still have restarted services in church sooner, perhaps because I have no more imagination now than I did when I was 26. But that is quite clearly not the feeling of most of our people. So, as you know, we are seriously pursuing the idea of worshipping outdoors, and we may, when we do, find new reasons to enjoy worship. Worshipping in God's good air, with the song of the birds for praise, the whisper of the breeze for the voice of the Spirit, and probably, this being Wales, the sweetness of the rain for refreshment. But at least, the Lord helping us, we will be together. Amen. And God. It's time for our prayers, which will be led today by Helen. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Ein tad, yr hwnnwyt yn y nefoedd, sancteiddi'r dy enw, dyler dy deirnas, gwneler dy wyllus, megis yn y nef, felly ar y ddear hefyd. Dyrw i ni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, a madda i ni ein dyledion, fel y myddeiwn nina i'n dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni brofedigaeth, eithir gwared ni rhag drwg, canis eiddo tiw'r deirnas, a'r gallu, a'r gygoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, as we gather together in the presence of the living God, let us ask for his help and guidance in the church and in the world. We pray for the many groups of Christians worshipping alongside us in other communities and in other countries who risk persecution for their faith. Help us to support and encourage one another as we serve you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the leaders of the nations, all members of governments, and their advisers, that they may be led in the spirit of wisdom to work in harmony with God's will, so his values are reflected in all policy making. We pray that they continue to guide us safely through this difficult time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we thank you for all those who help our community to run smoothly because of their jobs, voluntary work, or neighbourliness. Help us to be supportive and encouraging and to step into situations where we can serve. When faced with adversity, the community has pulled together to support one another, both practically and spiritually. Bless this church family and bring healing and comfort to those in need. Lord, In your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our families and our friends. Help us to become daily more Christ-like and less self-centered. Help us to respond to the needs of those around us, and for wisdom to see opportunities of Christ's, and for enough energy and time to do what God needs us to do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we ask for your healing on all who are in pain or danger, all who are recovering from illness, and for those who depend on others for their care and well-being. May they be comforted and strengthened by your presence, trusting in your love that never fails. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we commend to your loving keeping all who have died, and we remember all those that are known to us. May they live forever in the glorious peace and joy of your heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, we offer you our thanks and praise for the way you have guided us and brought us to worship you now. May we continue to praise you in the way we live the rest of our lives. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.
I don't know where I've put it. I've looked, but I've not found it yet. It's somewhere in the garden. I can't find my camouflage net. It's a sort of greeny colour, very much like the lawn. It's somewhere in the garden, but I don't know where it's gone. You can buy 'em in packs of a dozen. It's not long since I had a set. You just put 'em down and they vanish. I can't find my camouflage net. I ordered 'em last year from Wakefield's. I had to go back and remind 'em. They said they hadn't forgotten. They said they just couldn't find 'em. It's a good job you don't have to feed 'em. I suppose they'd make a good pet. Except they don't come when you call 'em. I can't find my camouflage net. I draped one over my transit. That's when the problems began. I'd go back to the shop for another, I would, but I can't find the van. It's only a bloody tarpaulin, but I can't find the little green get. I wish they'd make 'em bright orange. I can't find my camouflage net.